Friends, welcome to our Bible study in Scarva Street, Banbridge, on Wednesday, the 3rd of June. We have been looking over the last few weeks about the seven churches to which Jesus revealed a revelatory message. Each message significant to that church, but each message applicable to each church in every age, to a greater or lesser degree. We move from scene one into scene two. If you were able to pick up the very first study, it's on the website. It divides the book of Revelation into eight particular scenes. The first scene dealing solely with the earth, and the final scene dealing solely with heaven. And if you want to look back to that, you'll see how the book is structured. As you know, verses in the Bible, verse distinctions, numbers were put at a later date. The Bible wasn't written that way. It just was a continuous writing in each book. And so this scene, which is the second scene, which speaks about the suffering church, and the suffering church not only in the age of John, but in every generation. It's from chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 1. So that's the second scene that we look at today. We begin not so much by going into the content of the scene, but rather to look firstly at the meaning of numbers. Here in this scene, seven seals are opened, but there are a number of different numbers appearing, and it's important that we understand just what they symbolize. That helps us to get a grasp of the message. So let's come to God in prayer before we look to study. Let's pray. Father, we bless you for your word. We bless you that it is the truth. We pray that you will help us in grappling with the truth, that we might understand your word more fully. We know that you promise to give everyone a blessing who chooses to read this book. And Lord, we know that blessing comes through understanding. And we bless you that this book is relevant from the first century to the 21st century, and however long time will last. So Lord, help us to understand your word, this picture of the gospel. Lord, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, in scene one, the first scene we looked at, we see that the Bible, being a good teacher, repeats its lessons time and time again. And the more often God repeats lessons, it gives a sense of the importance of that lesson, at least that we need to grasp it as fully as possible. Every repetition reminds us that there's something important here that we are to know. In scene one, we saw that there were churches, lamps, stars, and spirits all appearing in groups of seven. We now find not only 24 elders and four living creatures, but we find another group of seven lamps and a scroll with seven seals. And as we read on, we shall find a great assortment of other numbers, between statistical numbers, which answer the question, how many? And then revelatory numbers that are given not to be understood, as it were, statistically at all. They are symbolic and they are painting pictures. I mean, for example, if there is a number like there were 1,200 people at the meeting, well, 1,200 means 1,200. That's the normal way we would speak and understand such a statement. But if someone says it's 1,200 hours, now I haven't done the calculation, But when a person says it's 1200 hours, they're not meaning that you divide 1200 by 24 to find out how many days the person is speaking of. When someone says it's 1200 hours, they're talking about midday. So the first 1200 is a statistical number. The second 1200 speaks of an instant in time. And so numbers can mean different things. So friends, we'll come to God's word just to read first of all and look at these numbers today. If you have your Bibles, it's Revelation chapter 4, and we're reading from the first verse. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front and behind the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Ending there at the end of the chapter. As we've been thinking of, numbers can have different meanings. They can be literal and they can be symbolic. So when we come to Revelation, we have to try to understand what these numbers are meaning exactly. When we think of the word 24, the number 24, in verse 4 of chapter 4, we need to ask the question, what does that mean? We have different numbers here. We have 24 in verse 4. We also have 7 in verse 5. And then we have 4 in verse 6. So what do these numbers mean? Let me just take you aside a little bit to try to remember how sometimes people come to Revelation as if it's a puzzle, and in parts a mathematical puzzle that we have to interpret. We'll come in time to the 144,000. of chapter 7, verse 4. Now, maybe preempting what that means is, I see that means the company of the whole church. It is a particular number. But how might we arrive at that number? According to Scripture, some people would say, well, three is God's number, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's three. Four stands for creation, or the world, the four corners of the earth, and there's relevance in that. And so three fours are 12. You multiply them together. That gives you 12. And then when we think of God's work through the world, in his church, putting the church and the world together, let's square 12 to make 144. 10 is the number of completeness, it is said. So, well, 10 cubed speaks of a three-dimensional completeness. That's 1,000. So let's multiply the 144 by 1,000 and we'll get 144,000. Now, some people come to Revelation in that way. But we're still entitled to ask, why? Why do this? Where does the Bible tell us to multiply 3 by 4 to get 12? Because if we added 3 to 4, we'd get 7 and a very different possible message. And why should 12 be squared, or why should 10 be cubed and not vice versa? And of course, although in places 10 speaks of completeness in the Bible, sometimes 10 speaks of a curse rather than a blessing, the 10 plagues of Egypt. Or we can think of the division of the tribes when they divided after Solomon's reign, 10 in the northern kingdom and 2 in the southern kingdom. That spoke of disharmony, that particular 10. I suppose you might even look at the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Certainly their initial 10 was not that of completeness. And so when we come to numbers, it's very important that we don't try to make our numbers fit in to what we think the answer or the message ought to be. So let's come to the 24 elders that we find in verse 4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Now here John is having this vision of heaven. He's being caught up in the Spirit. And of course, this is a picture that Jesus is revealing to him. So John is meant to look and see. And in that, in seeking to understand. The only places where the number 24 occurs in the Bible are the half dozen mentions that there are here in Revelation of the elders around the throne of God. The number 12, of course, is frequent. And we think of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus. Now, these two groups are brought together in Revelation in chapter 21, verses 12 to 14. There we see that the city of God has its gates labelled with the names of the former and its walls labelled with the names of the latter. And so these two 12s are linked here in Revelation as those on whom the people of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament these people who, as it were, founded this church of all ages. And since any event here in Revelation 4, verse 4, they're given the title of elder, which speaks of being a church leader, because there were the elders in the Old Testament as well as the elders in the New Testament. And so it is reasonable, and not only reasonable, but revealed to us through chapter 21. So the Bible interprets itself. We're not having to place our interpretation on it. That this 24 speaks of the church both before and since the time of Jesus. So the 24 speaks of the church in all its completeness. The church is a theological phrase we use is the church is militant on earth, and the church is glorious in heaven. The church is fighting on earth, and the church is released and glorified and perfected in heaven. Here, there's the picture of being seated on the thrones. This was a teaching that we have in Ephesians, where Paul writes that we are raised with Christ, we are made to sit with Christ. We are still here on earth, but our salvation is so secure that it's written as if we are already there. That here is repeated in Revelation. We are on earth, but yet our place is in heaven. And this vision John has of seeing the elders seated speaks of the victory that Christ has won, and its fullness will be delivered on that day when he returns and the kingdom is brought in its fullness. Then we look on to the next verse, which is Revelation 4, verse 5, and we read, "From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God." Now, in contrast to the number 24, the number 7 occurs, as we know, so frequently throughout the Bible. And there is a sense that the 7 often speaks of completeness. And of course, we use that in maybe not every day language, but we've heard the phrase to sail the seven seas. It means to travel all the oceans of the world. There are phrases in our secular language that takes this sense of completeness from the word seven. In the Old Testament, seven appears in thick clusters in places. In chapters of the Bible describe the Old Testament religion, the days, the years, the altars, the sacrificial animals, the sprinkling of water and oil and blood. Again and again they appear in groups of seven. We're not told why. We just note that. We find too in the beginning of Genesis, the book we're studying on Sunday mornings, we find that God created all things in 6 days. And after those 6 days of work, he chose a seventh day on which to rest when the world was made. And we have already begun to notice here in Revelation, as it were, the surface noise of history is cleaned off the record, and John is caught up in this silent part of a vision where he's just watching everything seems to go to the seven beat rhythm. I remember when I was doing a little children's story a while back at Harvest, you may have remembered that I was amazed at how 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, even 42 are cycles for plants and animals from germination and also from conception to birth. And probably you've done it yourself, maybe as a child on the seashore and watching the waves come in and looking for the seventh wave, which is to be the biggest of the waves coming in. We seem to have a seven cycle vibration that speaks of the natural pattern of the world. It speaks of its essence. And here we have this picture of seven in Revelation chapter 4. It's as if it's to say, this is the way things are. Though the seven churches of Asia do indeed stand for the church in general, it's because they represent the whole church as the real church. That seems to be the key. Not just a church as an entity, but a church as a reality, a living organism. And if the seven letters show the church as it really is, then we can expect to see that the seven seals will show the world as it really is. And so with the seven trumpets and the seven bowls, God's warnings as they really are in the trumpets, and God's judgments as they really are in the bowls. So, recapping, 24 elders speaks of the whole church before and after Christ. That is revealed to us in Revelation itself in chapter 21. The letter 7 is the beat of nature, the essence of life, of all things. And when we come to 7 in Revelation, the seven churches, this is the church as it really is. The seven seals, they'll show the world as it really is. The seven trumpets, the warnings of God as they really are. The bowls, the judgments of God as they really are. So 7 will speak of the essence and speaks of reality. Then the last number we come to in this little section is number 4, and we find that in verse 6. Also in front and behind the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the centre around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. There are a good many number fours in the Bible. And it is difficult perhaps to see which is literal and which is symbolic. We studied the book of Daniel a while back in our evening service, and we come to the four-horned goat in the vision of Daniel 8 verse 8, where the horns speak of kings, the successors of Alexander the Great. And so, does 4 mean anything other than 4 as a number? We can think of Peter's vision in Acts 10, where he had this vision that God let down a sheet from heaven, and in it were all sorts of unclean and clean animals. And God said, everything I have made is to be determined as clean, and you can't say the Jews are clean and the Gentiles are unclean. That was the picture that God was giving to Peter. The sheet represents the Gentile world, and it would probably have had four corners. And four is a word which is often used to be symbolic for the world. But four, like this, doesn't really help us in interpreting the places where this number turns up in Revelation. We need to try to seek a meaning elsewhere. The most important fours of the book all make their first appearance in this scene. If they are symbolic of anything, it is probably the created world. I suppose we can think of the compass points pointing north, south, east, and west. The Bible speaks, as we often do, of the four corners of the earth. It also speaks of the four winds of heaven. The angels who stand at the earth's corners and restrain the winds are also four in number. We'll come to that at the beginning of chapter 7. And we ask the question, are we supposed to see similar meaning in the four living creatures in chapter 4, verse 6? We might find greater help in their name rather than in their number. Because I suppose our eye goes perhaps most easily to numbers rather than to names. They are called living creatures. They are like those that were seen in Ezekiel's first extraordinary vision in Ezekiel chapter 1. And this is something we'll find constantly in Revelation. We are directed back to what God has already declared, and he adds to that vision. And though the six wings of the seraphs in Isaiah 6 seem to tally more with this picture than the beginning of Ezekiel. And of course we have the picture of cherubs and the cherubim in art and in folklore as little chubby infants with wings and dimples. That's not what a cherub was. A cherub was an awesome creature. And it's the sight of the cherub declared the presence of God. And so when we're told in Psalm 18 verse 10 that the Lord travels both on a cherub and on the wings of the wind, we may begin to see a link between the four living creatures and the four winds which come later on in chapter 7, verse 1. We might call these cherub creatures nature, as long as you remember what nature really is. It is an immense construction filled with all the ceaseless activity of God. Paul speaks of God's eternal power and deity, and that is perceived clearly because of all things that he has made. And here in Revelation, these four living creatures speak of the whole of creation, this vibrant activity of God in his creating and sustaining. The faces which we find also in Ezekiel 1 verse 10 that we find here in 4 verse 7 represents God's majesty and his strength, his wisdom, the fact that he's higher than we are, The numberless eyes of this creation speak of how he is watchful over all things. This is God's world, and the four living creatures represent his glory. So what do we find in these numbers? We find, lastly, that the four living creatures speak of God's world in all its wonderful expression of who he is, his glory and power and majesty. We remember too that the seven speaks of the essence of all things. When we come to seven in Revelation, it's what is real, the real church, the real world, the real warnings, the real judgments that God brings. And the letter 24 speaks of the church before and after Christ. Friends, thinking about these things and trying to sort out these numbers will help us as we come to look down through this second scene. Because here Jesus teaches about the suffering of his people in all generations. He has his church, Old and New Testament, and they will be in heaven. What he says is true. Every seven we come to, it's the essence of this reality. And the four, it speaks of the glory of his creative power and all that he has made. And with that in the back of our mind, we can come to look at this second scene. Friends, God willing, we'll look at this next week. Thanks for being with us today. God bless.